Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Charltow from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. I am joined today from London by Steve Priest, who is Assistant Director of the UK Competition and Markets Authority. Steve, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Adam. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Thanks. And so let's start. Can you give a quick overview for folks who might not be familiar with it, what the Competition and Markets Authority is and does?
Sure, Adam. The Competition and Markets Authority, or the CMA, is the UK's leading antitrust competition law enforcement agency. We were founded in 2014. We took over functions from two other UK agencies, which some of your listeners might have heard of, the Office of Fair Trading and the Competition Commission. The CMA enforces consumer law, but also antitrust law, as I was saying, primarily in the form of the Competition Act 1998. And for as long as the UK is a member of the European Union, so until exit, Article 101 and 102 of the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union, the latter in two provisions in cooperation with the European Commission. Now, those sound very technical. What those really are about is taking enforcement action against anti-competitive agreements, such as cartels, and also what we would call over here under the Competition Act, abuse of a dominant position, but what your listeners would understand as essentially being monopolistic abuse. So the abuse of market power so that it has an anti-competitive economic effect or risks having that effect. The counterpart in the United States to the work that we do is Section 1 of the Sherman Act, which of course deals with contracts and conspiracies and restraint of trade, and Section 2 of the Sherman Act, which is about monopolization.
Thanks. That's really helpful for providing framing for us.
Yeah, and a little different maybe from our counterparts in the United States, such as the US DOJ and the Federal Trade Commission, is that we can impose fines ourselves for any breaches of the law that I was mentioning, such as, for example, if we find that a business is engaged in a cartel activity, we can impose a fine of up to 10% of the global sales of that business. Now, that business can then appeal. It can appeal to something called the Competition Appeal Tribunal here, who has all the powers of a court. They are essentially a court under UK law. And then if that business isn't happy with the outcome they get at the Competition Appeal Tribunal, they can appeal to the Court of Appeal.
Wow, so that's quite a broad match mandate, but one, you know, I think people are generally familiar with. Now, one of the things that varies country to country when it comes to competition and law is that some countries see compliance programs as a value. Some take the position, and I realize I may be oversimplifying, that if there's any violation of anti-competition law, the compliance program obviously wasn't working. What's the CMA's position on compliance programs?
The CMA, we took over a lot of guidance from our predecessor, which is the Office of Fair Trading, and I have to declare an interest, and I worked at the Office of Fair Trading myself, and I worked on a lot of the compliance materials that the Office of Fair Trading produced. The Office of Fair Trading, or the OFT as it was called, really valued compliance efforts by businesses. It saw as something that really helped to promote competition, with a business internalizing, if you like, the competition law in that business and seeing a real culture of compliance within that business. The CMA took that over, and the CMA shares that view, and the CMA is very keen to promote competition law compliance among businesses in the UK and businesses from abroad that are trading in the UK. And among other things, the means by which we do that is we've produced a lot of guidance material and also taken quite a bit of the guidance material from the Office of Fair Trading that's available up on the CMA website, which is available at www.gov.uk/CMA. And we discuss there how a business can achieve compliance with competition law. We advocate a four-step process. I think many of the listeners out there will be quite familiar with the principles that we articulate in those materials. But one of the things that the CMA thought was very important to do, and they took this over from the Office of Fair Trading, was also potentially to recognize the value of compliance programs. If something perhaps has happened within a business has broken competition law, and they either have a compliance program in place, maybe by which that helps to identify the breach and maybe they reported it to us, or as a result of that breach, they get really serious and they say, we're making a real commitment here to competition law compliance. This is what we're going to do. And in those circumstances, the CMA says in our finding guidance, which is actually taken over from the Office of Fair Trading, and that's the guidance is called Guidance as to the Appropriate Amount of the Penalty. It's available again up on the CMA webpage. What it says in there is that our approach, strictly speaking, to compliance is neutral. So in terms of how we assess that, there's no automatic discount on the amount of the fine that we impose, and this is quite important because, as I was saying, it's the CMA, who can impose the financial penalty, the fine. But we may, depending upon the circumstances, if we look at the undertakings, the business's compliance activities, give them a discount on that financial penalty, on the fine of up to 10%. Now, there's certain factors that we take into account as to whether that that fine will be lowered, and then certain things that you have to do, and as to the amount of that lowering of the financial penalty.
Now, let me just look back for a second. You mentioned that there was a four-step process. Is that something you can easily summarize?
Absolutely. We from the OFT, did a lot of research in compliance and advocated this four-step process, which the CMA has taken over. It's essentially a continuum, and again, I think it's going to be very familiar to many listeners out there. I think maybe the means by which we discuss it may be slightly different from some of the materials that the SCCE and others have produced. But really, the first thing that we're looking for is, if you like, it's a precursor to that four-step process, is that we're looking for evidence of a clear and unambiguous commitment to competition law compliance throughout the organization from the top down. So right from the boardroom suite, right down to the managers in the office and on the phones, wherever in the organization. Then the first step of that process, having established that there is a clear and unambiguous commitment to competition law compliance, will be risk identification. So we're looking for that business to say, hey, these are risks in competition law terms. Now, we've produced some materials that can help those businesses to identify those kind of risks. Then to say the risk assessment, so what's the likelihood of us actually engaging in this sort of risky activity? Risk mitigation, so steps that the business takes to deal with those risks of breaking competition law, and then review activities. And we'll look at each one of those steps in terms of whether there should be a discount of the amount of the financial penalty.
Well, yeah, it certainly does sound consistent a lot, what you've seen in the sentencing guidelines and various other compliance-related legislation around the world, I mean, starting with the right tone at the top. So let me ask this. One of the questions gets to be, I've built a compliance program. A lot of times, antitrust gets handled elsewhere. But how do I make my compliance program as a whole work well in this anti-competition area? Do you have any advice for folks in this?
Absolutely. I think that, to my mind, I think that what you're not looking to do as a compliance professional dealing with antitrust and competition risk is to try and make everybody an antitrust expert. I mean, that's a really complex area of law. But what you can do is just articulate to the people in your organization the sort of risky activities that they should recognize and avoid. And I think that can be put into any kind of good compliance program, a program that's going to be dealing with anti-bribery and corruption, dealing with modern slavery, dealing with financial reporting, all those sort of things that any kind of good program is dealing with. In the same way, is that what those kind of programs are looking at with, say, elements of a program dealing with anti-bribery and corruption. They're not purporting to make you an expert on the detail of the legislation, but they're giving you risky activities, say, this is part of our corporate values. We don't engage in these kind of activities. You should avoid these kind of activities, maybe making suggestions for how to avoid them, and then what to do if you're aware of those happening in the organization. Same thing for antitrust, and we think that this can be integrated into any effective program. So some of the points that compliance professionals and indeed risk managers and others dealing with these sort of issues for their businesses could look at would be those risky activities, such as something as simple as talking to your competitors about pricing or deals, the detail of deals at industry events or elsewhere in the context of social conversation, knowing, you know, what you can talk about. You can talk about the state of the market, generally speaking. What you can't talk about or shouldn't be talking about is the details of what you're offering customers, the terms on which you're offering customers, the kind of customers you intend to service going forward, those kind of things. Just putting that out there, people understanding the risks of that kind of thing. I think many of the issues can actually be fairly readily understood, and I've certainly been at compliance events and indeed with colleagues from businesses in the United States. I can remember being at an SCCE event where there was a fellow there from a construction company, and he said, yeah, bid rigging. That's an example of, I was talking to him about it. It's an example of anti-competitive activity. He said, yeah, we don't do that. That's just part of our corporate values. We don't engage that sort of activity. And I thought that's an example to my mind of a compliance professional who's doing a good job within their business, because I don't think necessarily the people involved there necessarily knew the detail of how bid rigging might be, in this case, a breach of the Section 1 of the Sherman Act, but they knew that's not what they do. And I think that's something really, really important. And then also with some of the more complicated areas, just giving some indication to say, well, look, this may or may not be appropriate in competition law terms. Here's what you should do. And it might mean just speaking to the in-house lawyer, speaking to the compliance professional, seeking legal advice. Those are the sort of things that that we think good compliance professionals can integrate into the program, making sure that it's a high priority item within the agendas as well. So keeping it up there with anti-bribery and corruption efforts, you know, just adding into there, saying, you know, I know there's colleagues within the SCCE, for example, who do a lot of training on both anti-bribery and corruption and antitrust risk. And I think that's a really interesting and, you know, to my mind, my personal view, would be a very helpful approach to that kind of thing.
Thanks. And finally, last question is, are there any good examples that you can think of sort of common mistakes that organizations make in dealing with these issues?
Yeah, absolutely. When the Office of Fair Trading was researching its work leading up to some of the compliance materials it produced, such as one called How Your Business Can Achieve Compliance with Competition Law, we came across examples of businesses maybe where they had lawyers come in, and the lawyers kind of did everything that I think an experienced compliance professional would know not to do. And they went into the great detail about the law itself, talking about these really complicated concepts in competition law, talking, for example, about abuse of dominant position, in some cases maybe to businesses which, you know, that was not really a risk factor for them, but a lot of people met each other at social events and in industry events in the industry. So, you know, you would say, well, the primary of risk would be around anti-competitive agreements. I think so making it meaningful to the business was maybe not something that's been done sometimes, and getting into really technical points and not giving that sort of practical guidance, because antitrust can be a really complicated area of law. There can be a lot of economic analysis involved, and, you know, rightly so in terms of liability, but in terms of what a business person needs to know, that, you know, that often isn't helpful. So certainly in my view, I think if, you know, I'm out there wanting to speak to compliance professionals, I'm wanting to make sure that they grasp the sort of activities that can be problematic, an understanding of why that's important that businesses don't engage that and some of the and some of the benefits of that, but keeping away from talking in really complicated terms about the law, and also not just giving a really general introduction to the law, but guiding it towards towards the industry, the sector, and indeed the business in question.
Well, and there's certainly plenty of real life examples that are possible to draw from out there. Well, Steve, thank you so much today for taking the time to talk to us. Thank all of you who took the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE, hoping we expanded your compliance perspective.